The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Leach Report. Obviously, I am not Tom Leach. I am TJ Beisner from KSTV in today for Tom, and joined by the heart and soul of Kentucky Sports Television, Bradley McKee. Good morning, Bradley.
I love that introduction. Yeah. I love it. Thank you. Yeah.
And last night, I know everybody up and going to work after the basketball game last night, which was not the most fun game to watch, not the most entertaining game. Mm-mm. Dragging a little bit, but we're going to get them going today, Bradley, because you're full of energy. I count on you to pick us up after these late nights.
Hey, you know, I bring it every day. It doesn't matter. I bring it every
That's a brag.
Day. That's a brag. I'm going to brag all day today. I'm going to bring it every
day. I like it. You can interact with us on the show via Twitter @LeachReport, and the email is leachreport@gmail.com. And make sure you check out the fan page on Facebook, Leach Report. And, of course, toll-free, you can call in 877-904-1080. The Leach Report is served up by Wild Eggs. And today's Wildcat News of the Day is presented by Cardinal Point Financial Group. That is a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. You can find the links to these stories on the Bud Leach Leach Report page over at TomLeachKY.com. And, of course, a lot of stuff looking back at last night's final home game at Rupp Arena. Kentucky beat Ole Miss. Looking ahead to football season as well. And I would just say I was caught in some traffic today, so I'm loading up the page right now. We might have to come back to this. But the game last night, a lot of people talking about this team now, 4 in a row, Bradley. They look like a different group, and we'll get into this a lot later. But to me, the biggest takeaway from what we've seen right now versus the beginning of the season and really even 2 weeks ago, not just that they're winning games, but this is – emotionally, confidence-wise, execution-wise, this is just such a completely different group of young men.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Cal said it. He's like, we're watching this team develop and get better right in front of our eyes. And you see that. You see guys are now starting to dial in. They're really believing in themselves. They're getting better offensively. They're getting better defensively. They're gaining confidence. And, yeah, this team is definitely turning the corner at the right time. And that's when you want to start doing it. Like, when it gets into February, getting ready for the tournament, NCAA tournament, and your conference tournament, this is when you want to kind of start changing. You want to start building. You want to start seeing confidence. You want to start seeing the identity for your team. And I think we're starting to see it now. And I think Coach Cal, he's starting to get his little swag back.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, I think these players all came in confident. If you go back to the preseason interviews, guys like Quade Green and Hamidou Diallo, they had that swagger and that confidence, but I think they were a little timid, thinking too much, not just them individually, but everybody, sort of in that situation where they're trying to figure it out and make the right play rather than playing with their instincts. They got it back now. Yep. They've got that confidence, and that's a really good thing for this team as they, of course, move into they got one final regular season game, but then move into the postseason with the SEC tournament and then on into the NCAA tournament. So make sure you go over to the Bud Light Leach Report page over at TomLeachKY.com to get a good look at last night's game. A lot of stuff over there. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, though, with Justin Rowland. We're going to talk a little football, looking ahead to spring camp, which starts next week. Some of the storylines going on there. And then we'll really get into the basketball game after that. I am TJ Beisner. He is Bradley McKee. And this is the Leach Report.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us @LeachReport or email leachreport@gmail.com.
Welcome back to the Leach Report. You heard the Blink 182. That means I'm TJ Beisner. In today for Tom Leach, joined by Bradley McKee. Got a lot to talk about with the UK basketball game as the Cats rounded out their home schedule last night with a nice win, but maybe not the most entertaining win over Ole Miss. We'll get into that in just a little bit. We're going to check in here about football, though. Take a look at spring camp, which will start next week, with Justin Rowland. He joins us now. His segment's presented by Shuffle Bean Coffee. He's on every week. And Justin, good morning. How you doing?
Good, TJ. How are you, man?
Good, good. Trying to get myself going here because I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to radio. So we're trying to figure it out. So I'm going to count on you to pick up the quality here. Looking ahead to the football camp, though, that's going to start next week, spring camp. You know, this time last year, I think a lot of people were really excited. They knew what to expect with the roster because coming off of that Tax Slayer Bowl, so many guys were returning. And it's kind of similar this year, especially defensively, but they're missing quarterback, some wide receivers, Courtney Love at linebacker. Some critical players have now departed. What kind of feeling do you have for this roster, and what are sort of the things that we can find out about this group in spring camp?
It's interesting because I think ordinarily when you return as many starters as Kentucky does, you look at the team and you're like, wow, that's a lot of continuity. They bring a ton of guys back. But, I mean, in spite of returning so many starters on both sides, you're replacing guys at really important spots, quarterback especially, and then the specialists. You know, think about how important the punting improvement was last year and how crucial Austin McGinnis was, how many games he decided. The few starters that you're losing are critical. So there really isn't as much continuity, I think, as the numbers would suggest.
And quarterback is a position where obviously a lot of fans, their attention will gravitate towards what's happening at the quarterback position. And Terry Wilson is on campus, has been for a few weeks. Many people believe he's the guy that will be the starter. But there are people who believe Gunnar Hoke is a tremendous quarterback prospect, far better than what he was rated in high school. He's had the experience of being there. What can we learn, I guess? What are the coaches hoping to find out from this quarterback position and these two guys and maybe the other ones involved over the course of this camp?
I don't think there's any question that Terry Wilson is the more dynamic, explosive player. The question is going to be, how much of an advantage does Gunnar Hoke have from being in the offense for going on 3 years, and he had that extra semester when he first came in? The other thing to remember is Gunnar Hoke has really looked good the last two springs. So I think it's safe to say, you know, if history is going to be our guide, Hoke is probably going to look good in the spring again. And he's going to be moving up on the depth chart a line, so he's going to be playing with maybe ones and twos more as opposed to playing with twos and threes in the past. So it'll be interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if Wilson has some rust to shake off and maybe a learning curve at first while Hoke has proven he looks really good in the spring. The question's going to be, you know, whether Hoke's question is he going to be dynamic enough for the coaches? Because Wilson has that going for him. It'll be a fascinating competition to watch.
As far as Terry Wilson goes, obviously the SEC is different than the level of football that he was playing in last year. But when it comes to that learning curve, not just the learning the playbook and the offense, but just the speed of the game, you know, how much of a transition do you think he faces? Having been somewhere previously, having been at Oregon, what kind of transition do you think he faces coming from the level he was just at getting to SEC football?
It's going to be a serious transition, no doubt about that. I mean, if you go back and you watch his film from the junior college level, he's throwing against some pretty good athletes, but it's like nothing he's going to see in the SEC, just the speed and the size of the guys that are going to be in his face while he's making much more contested throws. I think the time that he spent as like Oregon scout team quarterback a couple of years ago was going to be valuable because he was playing in practice against some very talented Pac-12 athletes then. I think it's going to help that he's learned several different playbooks and adjusted to several different personnel sets in recent years. That'll make him more adaptable. But, yeah, it's going to be a huge, huge jump to the SEC.
And this is also a time for not just the players but also the coaches. You know, they get to know the guys that are new, and then the new coaches learn everybody. And we've seen, Michael Smith, the wide receivers coach, introduced. They have Brad White, who's now working with the linebackers. Dean Hood is in a new role. It seems like every offseason, Mark Stoops has some sort of transition with his staff. And the effects seem to be managed pretty well. You know, I can't off the top of my head think of a real glaring change where it really affected the team. What do you make of the continuity of this staff right now and their strengths and maybe some things that maybe will improve this year because of the changes they've made with their staff?
I see it being a pretty smooth, seamless transition. Michael Smith coming in as the receivers coach. He's coached for a long time in college football. He was on Bill Snyder's staff at Kansas State, Brett Bielema's staff at Arkansas. He knows how to do relationships. His recruiting is a testament to that. I think Brad White, coming from the NFL, is going to command a lot of respect, especially he's stepping into a unit that's got a lot of seniority. Those outside linebackers, you got to figure that they're eager to work with somebody who's been at the NFL level recently. That'll be very helpful to them. He'll have their attention. And then Dean Hood already commands a lot of respect for the work that he did with the special teams and with the linebackers last season, and he's been around the block, and he's working with guys that he's been around a lot before, even if he wasn't coaching the defensive backs. Those guys know him well, and they trust him.
When you look at this defense, because this is something that we've talked a little bit about in the past, It's odd that, you know, Mark Stoops is known as a defensive coach. They have a lot of resources on the defensive side of the ball. Some of their best players, maybe three of their best players, are on the defensive side of the ball. And it just didn't, numbers-wise, work out last year. There were a lot of areas where they could improve. Is this a group that you think is set to take a big step forward in 2018?
I think they are. You know, I said that I think the goal should be for the defensive line to have the same kind of transformation that the offensive line had a couple of years ago. And yeah, that's a tall order because the offensive line took a huge step forward, but they've got a lot of numbers up front. You know, the last couple of years you've seen playmakers emerge. What we hadn't seen is the really quality depth. And so those frontline players are maybe playing too many snaps, and that's why they would wear down over the course of games from snap 70 to 90, why they would wear down over the course of a season. You saw the regression the second half of last year. I think the younger depth is going to be improved. Maybe the frontline starters don't have to play quite as much, and I think that'll bear itself out. Now, that doesn't mean I think they're going to be an elite SEC defense, but if they can jump from the 90s statistically to the 40s, that would put them where they need to be.
And especially with the way they're going to play on offense. This is a team that, you know, it's pretty clear they want to control the clock. They want to wear you down. If the defense can allow them to do that, then that makes a big difference. So we will see Justin Rowland. You check out all of his stuff over at Cats Illustrated. Tons of good stuff over there. Can't recommend that enough. And we always appreciate your time. Join us, Justin. Thank you.
Thanks, TJ. Have a good morning.
You too. We are going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to dive into last night's Kentucky basketball win. The Cats beat Ole Miss. Bradley and I are going to break it down. He's going to share his insight, which is the best in the world. I love Bradley's insight. We're going to get more of that coming up when the Leach Report returns.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach KY.
Welcome back to the Leach Report. TJ Beisner and Bradley McKee from Kentucky Sports Television in today for Tom. Talk a little bit football now. Turning our attention to the final regular season game last night for the Kentucky basketball team. By the way, I got to wake up, man.
It's hard, man. We were up late last night.
The thing. It is not just the being up late and coming back to Louisville and then realizing I should have lived closer to our office and driving out to Oldham County. It's the game last night. It was such – I mean, the first 5 minutes of the game took half an hour of real time. They had to go to review, technicals left and right. But, you know, ultimately, Kentucky won. Mm-hmm. They scored 96 points in a game that was physical. That clearly the game plan was for Ole Miss to rough up Kentucky, which has been the game plan for the Cats. This is what people going back to the beginning of SEC play said, hey, you can push this team around. You remember Cal after the Tennessee game saying, this team isn't tough. We need to find some toughness. The thing that encourages me most about this team is they found it. Mm-hmm. They're tough now. And it came almost organically. I think part of it was going down to Arkansas, and you either sink or swim in that environment. And they found a little bit of something inside themselves, and they closed them out, shut them down at the end of the game, quieted that crowd, and then they brought it back home, and they carried it over into that game. And now this team has this, you know, they're far from perfect, but they have this just toughness, this mindset that they will not be pushed around. And when you have that, you're going to beat teams that are more talented than you. There aren't a lot of teams that are more talented than them to begin with. That to me, that I love this team right now. The way they are playing, they've got that mean streak. They're hitting some shots, which is another conversation. But they've just found themselves. And to me, that is the most encouraging thing about it.
Yeah, you know, I contributed that a little bit to Jared Vanderbilt. When he came in, even when his first game when he played at South Carolina, just think about it. He was running around, being tough. I mean, he made them play at a different speed, you know. And now you see him rebound. Last night, he didn't have his best game, but he still had 11 rebounds. And that's toughness. You know, when you know offensively you're struggling and you're not really the offensive guy, you get in there, you get rebounds, and you push around, and you throw your body around. And then, like you said, this team's got it because I thought they had it when they went to Tennessee there for the first half. And then when P.J. Washington went out with cramps, it seemed like the team was totally different. It seemed like everybody didn't know what to do. They got hit in the mouth. And now they're starting to show that toughness. Everybody's bringing it from Quad A to, you know, Jared Vanderbilt, to Shea. You can see it. It's trickling down to all the guys, and now it's hard to beat them. Like you said, they're very talented. So it's going to be hard to beat a team who is talented and very tough. So I think they finally found their little niche right now.
And it's funny you mentioned Jared Vanderbilt. What I love about Jared Vanderbilt is he brings that intensity and that energy coming off the bench. But Cal, being Cal, you know, he has to challenge everybody. You think you're doing well. You haven't played that well. Last game, Jared Vanderbilt gets 15 rebounds against Missouri. And Cal in the press conference just throws out a casual comment. Well, he would have had 20 if he was rebounding with both hands. Then last night he comes out. Yeah, I didn't think Jared played very well, but he got 11 rebounds. So, you know, that just shows you how much he can improve. Because he doesn't want anybody to feel settled. Because I think that complacency was, you know, I don't think this team got to a point where they were complacent. But I think complacency is a natural emotion or feeling when you're accomplished as a high school basketball player and you're trying to feel it out. You don't know necessarily what to do. You're overthinking it, and you can say, okay, well, I'm this. I know I'm this. He's rid the room of complacency. There's everyone has that aggression. Even a guy like Nick Richards, who's not producing at a level where they want, his lack of production sometimes comes from being over-aggressive, getting himself in foul trouble. I think this team has really found itself, found an identity, and that identity is pushing you back. Let's go. We're going to make you work for 40 minutes. Now, if they can refine what they do within those 40 minutes and they play a little better defense and they can't really make many more shots than what they're doing right now, then they can really take a step forward. But we were talking last night on KSTV before the game about, you know, the three wins preceding Ole Miss, they had scored 80 points in every single game. That was a big change for them. And if they were going to do it, they were going to have to do it on a night when they didn't shoot the ball well. Now, that wasn't last night. They shoot 50% from the field, 44% from three. So they had 96. But I think the reason they're at 96 instead of 80 is because they did what we said they need to do when they're not making shots. Deflections, steals, rebound the basketball. And you look last night, they win the battle of the rebounds, 43-35. Nine steals. Every player who played last night, except for Sasha and Brad Calipari, who played 1 minute, had at least one steal. And that doesn't even count deflections. They're active on defense. And when you can manufacture offense for yourself, manufacture points, you all of a sudden become a much better basketball team. And this group never did that. Not one game. Not all year. Not one game did it. And they did it last night. Now, that's a 20-point or 18-point difference in a win. If they can do that on nights when they're not shooting well, they're still dangerous. They can still beat you. They're finding themselves.
Yeah, you figure out a way to score points off your defense. Yeah. I mean, we know that defense wins you games. Defense wins you championships. Yeah. And so that's what Cal's trying to stress to them. Look, shots will fall. You know, you will have some nights where you will struggle, but the grind it out. I mean, I remember watching the 2015 team, and some of those games I was watching, they were so boring because no one was really scoring. But what they were doing were defending. They were, you know, with Willie Cauley-Stein and Carl Anthony Towns and Trey Lyles, they were blocking shots and defending. And I'm like, man, you know, this team looks like they're struggling. But they weren't struggling. They were doing what they're supposed to do to win. And I think this team is kind of doing some of that. Like, they're not winning games by, you know, 20-point margins.
Right.
But they're grinding it out. And that's what you need to do when you get in the NCAA tournament. You got to grind games out.
Special teams can beat you in a lot of different ways. I don't know if this team is that. Mm-hmm. But they're showing some characteristics of it. They're showing that they could potentially be that team. And that's what's really cool about it. And another guy, Hamidou Diallo, another pretty good game to me. The 20 minutes he played last night, that's a testament to defense and what he was doing. And
we're going to talk about that
more. No assists. But we're going to talk about Hami, his evolution, what he can do for this team. When the Leach Report returns, I'm TJ Beisner. He's Bradley McKee. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more Leach Report in just a few minutes.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Coming up next, it's Kentucky Sports Radio with Matt Jones.
Welcome back to the Leach Report. TJ Beisner and Bradley McKee filling in today for Tom. You can catch our show, Kentucky Sports Television, weeknights at 7:30 and 11 on your Charter cable. Spectrum News, Channel 2. And we also have a website.
Yeah.
MyCN2.com. You can check that out, and Twitter and Facebook. We like to keep up with the kids.
Yeah,
the technology. So make sure you check that out. We were talking before the break about this game last night. Kentucky wins. It was ugly, at least early. It was sort of a drag-on game. But the Cats, though they looked like they were going to give it away in the second half, came back, closed out strong, win by 18. And we mentioned before the break, Hamidou Diallo. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if there's been a player aside from Archie Goodwin at Kentucky who's been as polarizing under John Calipari. Hami has had his struggles this year. Really good game against Missouri. Knocked down three threes, had 11 points, had two assists. Mm. His first, he broke a seven-game assistless streak against Missouri and had two of them in one game. But he, to me, the big story was he was on the floor for 25 minutes because they need him to do things other than score. He has to be a plus player. So defensively and in the flow of the offense, he was giving them what they wanted. That was a big development to me for Hami. Last night he plays 20 minutes. Isn't a crazy high number, but it's the same as P.J. Washington. It's more than what he had been playing, so he's again contributing on the court. He has 9 points, 2 of 3 from threes. They came late in the time when they needed them and when they were putting Ole Miss away. I like what we've seen from Hami the last two games. I still am hesitant to say, okay, he's turned the corner because we've seen him be inconsistent. But where he is now, I think his contributions are not dependent on the shot. Now, the shot's falling, but that's not what is making him stay on the floor. I like what I've seen. What have you seen in the last couple of games that's been different than what you saw when he was struggling?
Well, first of all, he's been patient. You know, when the time when he was struggling, it seemed like he was running 100 miles an hour out there. He was trying to run over somebody. He was trying to get to the basket. He's like, I got to get to the basket. I got to get to the basket. Well, now he's starting to play within the flow of the offense. And now he looks more comfortable shooting that three-point ball. And so when that goes down and you see that go in, now you got a little confidence. Like, okay, I can hit my outside shot. People right. said I'm not a great shooter. So then when you penetrate to the basket, instead of you bowling over somebody, now you can stop and take that little 15-footer, you know. And I just think that he started to play basketball. When he was out there, he was watching the game being played, and he was thinking about it. Now he's starting to get involved and feel like, okay, this team needs me. And not only the offensive end, they need me to rebound. They need me to defend. And he's starting to do those little things. It's the small things that Cal wants you to do on the floor because he knows that you're athletic. He knows you can dunk. He knows you can run the floor. But it's the small things. And that means defend, rebound, help your team, talk, communicate. And are you out there to help your team?
Yeah.
Are you out there trying to build your own stats, you know? And I think Cal always talks about guys being ball stoppers. For a long time, Hami was a ball stopper. When he got the ball stopped.
Right.
And so I think that he's starting to understand, now, let me move the ball around. Even though his assists are not there, but just get the ball in my hands. You know, somebody is ahead in front of you, give it up. And so for him, he just got to be patient. Now he's starting to get back in his groove.
And I don't think it's any coincidence that his shots are falling as he's becoming a better defender. You know, for young players, I think so much of your success can be tied into emotion because you're still trying to figure it out. And with this team, it's unique in that they are all young players, and we saw it play out collectively as a group. Everyone is playing well right now. Every single guy on this team, aside from maybe Nick Richards, who still, he only played 7 minutes last night, got 4 rebounds and a steal, so he was at least a little more productive than what we've seen. They're all playing some of their best basketball of the year. If not, they're far and away best basketball of the year. And I don't think it's a coincidence that it's all happening together because you know, when you're a young basketball player and you're making that transition to college, you've gotten talent and instincts have gotten you to a certain point. Cal breaks you down in a certain way to teach you how he wants you to play within the construction of his offense. Now, you can, he says we don't hide you, but you can get by learning for a while when you have veterans around you. They can't do it. So all of these guys, when they're struggling, when shots aren't falling, well, it's affecting them. Their emotions, mentally, they're affected, and it affects them on the defensive end. So I don't think it's any coincidence for Hami and the entire team that as they've played better defense these last few games, now the shots are falling because it picks you up. It puts you in that groove of playing basketball, not worrying about, oh my gosh, what did Cal want me to do here? Just taking ownership of the team. And I think we're seeing a group that, you know, they're going to have a night where they don't shoot the ball well. But I think, I'm hoping, they're at the point where that doesn't affect them on the other end of the floor. That's a huge maturation process for an individual. They've got 7 individuals that they have to do that with, and I think they're getting to that point. You know, like Kentucky basketball is, it's either a 10,000-pound rock you carry on your back if you're a player, or it's a cape and you're a superhero. It was that boulder for a solid month and a half for this team. They felt the burden, the pressure, the eyes of the world watching them, and it affected them. Emotionally, you could see it took a toll. And now that success is happening, they've got the capes on. They are superheroes, and they are walking in to take on teams. Last night, Ole Miss cheap shot at them a couple times, pushed them around, and they just smiled, and they pushed back, and they kept going. That's the transition. That's the difference that we're seeing in this team. And I think that, you know, as we move on, that's not going to change. You know, there's going to be the same game plan. Mm-hmm. That's what people are going to try to do to them. But I think this is a team that bring it. Yep. They're at that point now. Hey, bring it. We're fine. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back, and we're going to check in with the great Mike Pratt, get his thoughts on not just the game last night, but really this team. They are about to start the real season, get into the postseason, what he's seen from this group, and also interested what he thinks about the job John Calipari's done so far. I talked to a couple former Cats. They're very excited about it. I think he's done a great job. So we'll check in with Mike Pratt when the Leach Report returns.
You're tuned to Talk Radio 1080 and The Leach Report. And visit TomLeachKY.com for more news and views on the Cats.
Welcome back to The Leach Report. TJ Beisner and Bradley McKee in today for Tom. You can check us out again on KSTV tonight, 7:30 and 11 on your Spectrum cable. Talking a lot about Kentucky's win last night, rounding out their home slate. They've got one game left of the regular season before they head to St. Louis for the SEC tournament. And we're joined now on the phone by Mike Pratt, Wildcat legend. His segment's brought to you by Boone's Butcher Shop in Bardstown. Good morning, Mr. Pratt. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. You guys are quite a duo here.
Appreciate it.
That's like Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig.
Well, which one's Babe Ruth? Me?
Well, you take your pick, but most listeners don't remember either one.
That's a good one.
I think Bradley's Lou Gehrig because he's taking fewer sick days than me. He's more committed to it. I'm just, you know, I'm here for the show. I didn't.
There you go, Bradley.
That's right.
Well, last night, you know, another win for Kentucky, four in a row, and I think it's safe to say this is a completely different team than they were just a month ago. What have you seen that's different? What do you make of where this team is right now and how they're playing?
Well, I just think they've all decided that they were going to not pay attention to Calipari's bark, but listen to what he's saying behind the bark. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just think that sometimes it takes a while for young players to understand that bark is not the important thing. And don't be intimidated by it. Don't be offended by it. Listen to what comes behind the bark. And when you do that, then good things happen. And I like the way they're starting to understand what it takes to win ball games, finish ball games. I like that a lot. You know, earlier they'd either fall behind early and charge late, but never get to the finish line, or maybe they'd blow some leads and kind of get into funks. And they're kind of working their way out of it. Last night, I think, guys, was a great example. Because they didn't consistently play well. I mean, there were stretches there where I didn't think they played well. But when Mississippi made a run at them, they had answers to those runs. And, you know, a month ago, 2 months ago, they weren't answering all their opponents' runs with positive plays at either end. That's how you get it done. And I was impressed with what happened last night. And to their defense, you guys have been around long enough. You played yourselves. When you play a team that's got a losing record, it's your last game, and they fired the coach. I mean, everything is painted to be, hey, these guys aren't any good, okay? Not true. And I thought that their slow start and some other things in the middle that went on were probably something that happened to a team when you look at your opponent and you see the name on the front, you understand the record, and you kind of relax a little bit. So I'm going to give them a pass. They certainly have their work cut out for them Saturday.
Yeah, and part of, you know, the winning streak is they're hitting a lot of their shots, shooting better than they have pretty much at any point in the entire season. But they're also doing things, you know, deflecting passes. I think defensively they've been better. At some point, they're not going to hit their shots. It might be this weekend against Florida. It might be in the SEC tournament. Are you seeing a team that has found themselves and that they could still win on nights where maybe they're not making all their shots?
I think they are now defined. And let me go back guys to the make your shots. You know, everybody bitch and moan about not enough assists. Well, they were having good shots. They weren't making them.
Yeah.
Now, there were some guys taking some ill-advised shots. Okay, that happens, growing pains. But they were missing a lot of shots. And now they're starting to make them. And Calipari admits himself he's got the right guys on the floor now at the right time. And that's very important. But I think that their ID, their team ID now, is their defense. You know, they're one of the best three-point shooting defensive teams in the country. I think they're like 28% their opponents are shooting beyond the arc. And they become, with Vanderbilt, a very good rebounding team. So you're going to hang your hat, whether you're making shots or not, on your defense and your rebounding.
They now travel to Florida to round out the regular season. This is a team that, of course, came to Rupp Arena, beat Kentucky. It was a close game down at the end. As far as where these two teams now have gone, we know Kentucky's gotten so much better. Florida has been inconsistent, it seems, at times. What kind of challenge do the Cats face when they go to Gainesville this weekend?
Well, there's two things you got to do. Two things you have to do. You have to defend a three with them, okay? Anytime, in transition, on the half court, they're all capable of shooting the three. They like to drive and kick. Gio's is kind of that guy. Allen's that guy. But, you know, they got Igor that could knock it down. Hudson could knock it down. So they're really a challenge in that regard. So it's one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country against one of the better ones. At one time, they might have been the best, but they've been up and down recently. Let's be honest. The other thing is, you can't turn it over. And here's why, guys. When you turn it over, you give them a short court to come back at you. And it's just not for twos. Again, it's they'll jack that, you know, they'll chuck and duck that three in a heartbeat in transition. So the more that you value the ball, particularly outside, let's say, foul line extended out, you start turning it over in that area, and they're gone. I mean, they're fast. They're gone. Now, if you're going to miss a shot, you're going to make them use the full court. That's one thing. But turnovers, I think, are going to be very important. If you look at that Auburn game against Florida recently, Auburn coughed it up an unusual amount of times. And I was reading Bruce Pearl's comments, and he said, hey, we can't give them that many extra shots, particularly as well as they shoot the three.
When you look at this team overall, and you mentioned earlier about John Calipari, that they're not paying attention to his bark. They're listening to the message. And I know at times it seems like he has, you know, he's talked about it. He's really had to be the motivator for this team. He's had to be the leader until they took ownership of the group. You know, the record will not be one of the best that Calipari has had at Kentucky. It's just they've lost too many games at this point. But just in terms of the job he's done this year with this particular roster and all these young guys, what do you think of the job that John Calipari has done with this team?
Might have been his best coaching job. Mm-hmm. Not that the other jobs weren't good, because it's just as hard to coach bring very talented people together. But, you know, this team, you know, a lot of expectations were put on this team, and guys weren't ready development-wise with their skills when they hit the street as much as some of his other teams are. So he had to be very patient with them. He had to battle with them. He had to push all the buttons. He earned his keep. He earned his keep. There's no question about it. And these guys, a lot of them have some big upside. And as he said himself, he said, you know, we're going to have a lot of guys back next year. There's the potential there to have a really good nucleus coming back. And with his recruiting class, this team is, you know, you get through the growing pains, all right? And then it's a little easier to coach. It's never easy to coach. I'm sorry. It's a little easier to coach, okay?
It is a lot to look forward to right now. Of course, the game on Saturday, and then the real season begins. A lot to look forward to with this team. Mr. Mike Pratt, always a pleasure speaking with you, sir. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We're going to wrap things up here, take another break, and then wrap things up here on the Leach Report. TJ Beisner, Bradley McKee in today for Tom. Make sure you stick around. One final segment of the Leach Report coming up in just a minute.
Look for the Leach Report on Facebook. Show updates, contests, and other cool stuff. Check it out today.
Welcome back to the Leach Report. Final segment here. TJ Beisner, Bradley McKee from KSTV in for Tom. wrapping things up here, just had a great conversation with Mike Pratt. One of the things that I thought was really interesting, and this is something we've sort of talked about with some former players in the last couple of weeks, is the job that Calipari has done. Because you see the wins and losses, and Cal will say, I don't care about the wins and losses. The team is getting better. Mike said this might be his best coaching job at Kentucky. What have you seen from Cal this season? Do you agree with that?
I agree. If you look at the talent that he's had over his last 9 years, he's not really had to coach a lot because a lot of the players have been so talented and they've done the things that he expected without actually saying it, and they performed. So he didn't really have to coach, you know. I mean, not saying that Coach Cal didn't coach, but he did. But this team, he's really had to grind it out because they're so young. He's trying to show them what to do defensively, offensively, emotionally. Yeah. He's doing all of it. He's been a father figure. It's been a really up and down roller coaster ride for the team and Coach Cal. And I think he's done an excellent job. I mean, you know, it's hard enough to be a coach. But then when you had to factor in a bunch of 17-year-old, 18-year-olds that don't buy into what you were trying to tell them, and you've been doing it for a long time, it's frustrating. So he's been very patient with them, and he's finally got them to, you know, buy into what he's trying to tell them. Say, look, if you do the things that I'm telling you, the good things will happen. Now they start seeing the results, and these guys are really just, you know, buying in.
Yeah, I have one 18-year-old at my house, and it's extremely difficult to get him to listen to me. I can't imagine having a whole room full of them. But yeah, no, I agree. I think his commitment to me, you know, it's just, as a coach, he's really proven himself, again, in a different way this year, staying committed to this is what we're going to do, and we're going to continue the plan, and it's going to work. And he has not given up. He hasn't gotten frustrated. He's never lost his cool publicly. So, you know, I think you're seeing that, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has been consistent all year, almost a triple-double last night, 17 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds. Quade Green, though, now that he's healthy, I know he was hurt early in the season, 18 points, played 30 minutes last night. It doesn't seem like that long ago, Bradley, that we were having a conversation about, does Kentucky have a point guard? Do they have one guy that you say, this is our point guard? Now, I mean, it seems very safe to say they have two really good ones, and that's huge heading into the postseason.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. When you can have those guys kind of play off each other, you know, and now they're starting to both make shots, you know, because early on, Shai struggled shooting. Now he's getting the comfortable zone. He's been putting the time in of staying late, you know, and getting up early, getting shots in before the game. And Quade, we knew he could always shoot. He just never shot the ball. Yeah. And now Quade's actually looking for a shot. And these guys are definitely doing a great job of taking care of the ball. So their numbers are both the same. I think they're both shooting like 45%, 47% from the field, three-point lines around the 30s, 40 almost mark. And they're taking care of the ball, and they shoot very good at the free throw line. So these guys are very consistent. You can put one or the other out there, and there's no really drop off. Yeah. So I really like how both of these guys are, you know, taking care of the basketball and running the ball club.
A point guard who loves the point guards. I love hearing Bradley talk about point guards. Before we get out of here, your Leach Report, of course, served up by Wild Eggs, and today's Donato slice of UK history. On this day in 1981, Kentucky handed LSU its only SEC loss on the last day of the regular season. Again, TJ Beisner, Bradley McKee from KSTV, thank you for joining us. KSR is up next.
Thanks for listening to The Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow The Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport@gmail.com. See you next time, right here on The Leach Report Radio Network.